It's been about 10 years now since Jack Kemp died, and Jack Kemp was an extraordinary politician. He was even the vice presidential candidate in 1996, and he authored the idea of enterprise zones, opportunity zones, to help those low income, but to use conservative principles to lift them up. We're going to talk right now with his son, Jimmy Kemp, and we're going to talk about Jack Kemp's foundation. It's called the Jack Kemp Foundation. The website is jackkempfoundation.org. Using conservative, biblically oriented principles to help those who are less fortunate. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Jimmy, thank you so much for joining us on the program. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Sure. And recently, your dad's memory was honored in a big gala in Washington, D.C. And tell us about that. I understand it was just a wonderful event.
Oh, great. Thank you. Every year we honor an exceptional leader who champions the American idea. And this year we chose to honor a technology entrepreneur named Sean Parker, who realized that my dad's enterprise zone bill from the 1980s, which never passed into law, would help revive inner city communities and poor rural communities by attracting private sector investment into those communities. And at its core, that's what this country is. We are the land of opportunity, equality of opportunity, not equality of outcome, but people who want to become all that God created them to be. Yes. And are willing to work hard and take risks. This country has always been the place for people to build those dreams and work hard and accomplish great things. And when you don't have, when you have a punitive capital gains tax, that has the unintended consequence of discouraging wealthy investors and entrepreneurs to reinvest their capital. So Opportunity Zones is a new law that was created in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. The legislation was co-sponsored. It was on a bipartisan basis, Jerry, that Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina and Senator Cory Booker from New Jersey co-sponsored the legislation, and people are a little bit surprised to hear that there was actually bipartisan legislation that was included in any new law that is passed through Congress. But it really is a conservative idea that started even before my dad's legislation. And so we're really excited to tell people about it, and that's why we honored Sean Parker, because it was his vision to take Kemp's Enterprise Zone and update it, and incredibly, he was successful. So Ivanka Trump joined us, Senator Ben Sass, Senator Tim Scott, Kay Coles James, the president of Heritage Foundation, and Todd Ricketts, the owner of the Chicago Cubs, was there as well. And we had a great time.
Huh. All right. Now, Jack Kemp died in May 2009. He was a professional football player, and he was also a congressman for 9 terms in the U.S. House of Representatives under President George H.W. Bush, 41. He was the Housing and Urban Development Secretary. And as I said earlier, he was the vice presidential nominee in 1996. But his signature piece was the idea of enterprise zones. I guess now they're being called opportunity zones. Can you explain the
Correct.
Details? What was the
Sure.
idea behind the enterprise zone? And I love the idea of not leaving the less fortunate behind, but doing it in a way that they can enjoy the prosperity we have through personal responsibility, and not just saying, okay, here's the government, we're from the government, and here we're going to give you this check. And, you know, meanwhile, most of the people who really get rich are the government brokers, in a sense, in the whole welfare scheme.
Yes. And Jerry, you know that the war on poverty, while there have been some successes in the war on poverty.
Really?
It has not been there have been some. Oh. We do need a safety net in this country.
Yeah.
But it is not an efficient system. And history teaches us that the most efficient system is the free market, that when you give people created in God's image an opportunity to create themselves, and that's always been the hope of this country. That's the key to success. Now, we know that ultimate success is not merely achieving material wealth, but being able to provide for oneself and one's family is certainly a part of God's intended plan for each of us. And that comes through hardships, and, you know, it's never good to merely receive a handout. Here's the quick overview on opportunity zones. If a wealthy investor has unrealized gains from an investment, say I have stock in Amazon, and looking at the stock market right now, you know, technology stocks have tanked, and if I want to sell and realize those gains, on the front end, opportunity zone, the new opportunity zone law allows somebody who has unrealized gains to realize those gains and defer paying the 24% capital gains tax for 7 years if you invest those gains into an opportunity zone. And an opportunity zone has been, each opportunity zone has been chosen by a governor. All 50 states and the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico have chosen their opportunity zones, and they are distressed communities that have met a certain standard of distress. And so the governors have chosen them, and if you invest in that community, you get to defer your capital gain from any investment for 7 years. If you hold on to your investment for those 7 years and then plus three, you do have to pay your capital gain, your original capital gain, but you get a 15% discount if you're still invested in that opportunity zone. And then at the 10-year mark, if you're still invested, that's the threshold for any investment that you made. If there is a profit, you pay 0% capital gain on that investment profit. So there's a front-end incentive and a back-end incentive. Hopefully I was clear. If not, you can ask me clarifying questions.
Well, have there been any communities that that actually put all this into practice and, you know, you turned Camden into, you know, Menlo Park or, you know, whatever. Has there been anything like that?
A quick history. We talked about enterprise zones. My dad was more laissez-faire than even this legislation. His idea was to take formerly redlined areas, very poor communities where banks would say, here's a red line, no banker is allowed to lend in these communities. And there were some nefarious reasons that were a part of that in addition to the socioeconomic status. But dad said, let's draw a green line around these areas, zero out the capital gains tax, and we will attract investors who want to pay 0% cap gains tax. And there were really no restrictions. There weren't these timelines that opportunity zones have. Now, what happened is President Clinton co-opted that idea, and he put a liberal twist on it. He's created empowerment zones, which is a tax credit program, and not surprisingly, that program had more government involvement, so that the government had to approve your intended purpose. But if you met the government's requirements, the government would say, good job, you did what we want you to do, here's a tax credit. Now, that's how Harlem, New York came back. So Harlem, and there are plenty of other communities as well, that have utilized tax credit programs to fund investment and development in those communities, which has helped restore. In Washington, D.C., that was used in Northeast D.C. and sections of Northwest D.C., especially around the basketball and hockey stadium in D.C., but Harlem, New York, and many other communities. We think that Opportunity Zones is less government involvement, and there's about $1 trillion out there that we think can come into these Opportunity Zones from the private sector, as you noted earlier. And it's not a government program. It's not new spending. So there are communities that have been helped. This legislation is just being, the regulations from Treasury have just been put out a month ago. If anybody really wants to dig in deeper, I would encourage them to Google opportunity zones and their state. And then you'll see where those opportunity zones geographically are located.
Well, this, to me, makes so much more sense than just, you know, direct welfare. Part of the whole problem with the whole welfare system was that it broke the back of the urban family. It penalized, it penalized couples that would stay together. And so then dad would be basically chased out of the house. People will do whatever you give them the incentives to do. And so then you have all these children from the single parent households and they're disadvantaged. And nobody wants to talk about that, but there's a correlation between, you know, single parent households and people being in jail. I mean, it's just the kids are disadvantaged that way. And yet the government programs gave perverse incentives, to use a phrase from Jim DeMint, for that. So this kind of bypasses all that and gives good incentives for good outcomes.
That's the desire. Senator Tim Scott has been going around the country, and we've been working with him. And Senator Scott has the right mentality. He himself was raised in a single-parent household, and he has a real heart for people to get out of those types of difficult situations. And it's hard to encourage someone who's already coming from a disadvantaged situation if they say, okay, if I do everything right, what's my, you know, is there a carrot at the end? Is there, are there job opportunities? And if they don't see anybody who is accessing the American dream and the job opportunities that are out there, it, it looks bleak. So Senator Scott is very enthusiastic about this and has done a great job both with the legislation and then as the regulations have been coming out of Treasury, and they're in a comment period right now. And opportunity funds are being set up currently around the country that will be investing in these communities. So everything is very much happening right now, and there's a, there are a lot of articles on it, so it's easy to do research on. And at the Jack Kemp Foundation, we've been doing many events on these opportunity zones as well.
You know, it's interesting. Your dad must have been one persistent guy because he – I think he was first touting this about 1980 or thereabouts, the enterprise zones idea, and was banging that drum for years. I remember even when he was a vice presidential candidate in 1996, he would go, I think he even did go in a Harlem or in a certain places, and he was,
he was,
they would be often met with, you know, resistance because he was Republican.
Well, actually, people welcomed him in those communities. He received a little bit of resistance, but Sylvia's Soul Food is a restaurant in Harlem, and Sylvia is a Democrat. But Kemp went in there, and Congressman Charlie Rangel went with him, even though Charlie's is a Democrat. And actually, some of the resistance was from our own side. People would say, "You shouldn't be going after the African American vote. They're not gonna vote Republican." And my dad rejected that thinking. We reject it as well. We think that all people understand these values, and if we communicate clearly with an explicit understanding of human nature and the fact that our system of government is the best hope for mankind, because our system of government understands human nature and the fact that God exists and God created us in His image. But we're fallen. Nobody is perfect. That's why we need checks and balances in our government. It's why, you know, having a king is not the right way to go, despite, you know, because we've seen history. So if we learn our history, we understand what makes our Judeo-Christian roots, which we believe to be true and know are true, that is the best form of government because it's consistent with the way God created the universe. But those are things that we need to do a lot better job explaining, and they apply to every group in this country. At a time when we're so divided, it's important to have champions for that American idea, and I think Senator Tim Scott is one of the ones who does it really well. Senator Ben Sasse gave a great speech at our event as well, and so we're pleased that there are, despite a lot of the negativity, there are elected officials who have the right view of the American idea and the possibility that our country still holds while being very realistic about the challenges we face.
All right. Well, Jimmy Kemp, thank you so much for joining us. Jack Kemp Foundation for more information. Thank you and all the best to you, sir.
You're welcome, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.